May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 765. And does thy heart for Jesus pine, and make its secret moan? He understands a sigh divine, and marks a secret groan. Hymn 765.
Let us read together from the book of Genesis, chapter 17. The 17th chapter in the book of Genesis. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for father of many nations have I made thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in the generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, and the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee, in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you, shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh, for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face, and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that was born in his house, and all that was brought with his money, every male among men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son. And all men of his house born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. May God so bless his word and help us to pray. O kind and merciful God, we do pray to thee that thou wilt bless the word that we have read. Bless it, Lord, to us each, that we might fear and reverence thy great and holy name. May we ever remember, in coming before thee, that with thee there is nothing impossible. How often, Lord, thou dost perform in such a mysterious way to confuse and confound the wise and the foolish here below. But, Lord, thou dost give life, wisdom and understanding to, Lord, those that thou hast called by thy grace, that, Lord, they might be humbled under thy almighty hand in tenderness and godly fear to walk before thee. Thou knowest, Lord, how many of us walk through life's journey and have surely found many a difficulty, many a hardship, much confusion, Lord, of mind and spirit. And often we may well say, what can I do and where can I go? No help I find in self, although I've sought it well. The natural desires of our heart, Lord, are they not sin and death and hell? We pray that we might know that holy deliverance that alone can come from thee. For thou, Lord, thou hast said ye must be born again. And may this truth echo loud amongst us here tonight. Am I a child of God? Am I a newborn soul, being fitted and prepared for heaven? Lord, am I a poor, depraved sinner, destined to be cast into hell forever? Lord, our record is such. What can we say to these things? We got nothing, Lord, to plead of our own. But Lord, thy word declares unto us what sinners we are, and that the wages of sin is death. Then, Lord, there must be a lot of wages due unto us. Oh, if that be so. And therefore, Lord, oh, what a great redemption we need to be saved from all our sins and transgressions. Save us, Lord, from saying this night in our heart, I'll put these things off to another day, when we do not know that will be not another day spared unto us, that thou root us out root and branch and all, and thus cast us aside forever. Lord, how needful then, oh, for thou to come and work mightily in our hearts and save our souls from what we deserve. Oh, that thou might come, Lord, in love and mercy unto us, though so worthless and wretched we are. We ask thee, Lord, that we might have that grace, much grace, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, that those things that are so needful may be added unto us. Ever looking, Lord, to thee and to thee alone, we pray, dear Lord, that thou be with thy people in all their difficulties, in all their trials. Thou knowest, Lord, they face those things that they may fear very much. And Lord, we would lovingly bear them before thee. But only, Lord, thou canst save and canst deliver. And we, Lord, we would especially pray for those, Lord, who face to pass through nature's trial. We ask thee, Lord, to be with them. And Lord, that thou wilt give life and preserve life. Yea, when the confinements come, these are solemn matters, Lord. They are real matters. But oh, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be laid upon all those who pass through these trials and prove that thy grace is all sufficient for thee and thy strength is made perfect in thy weakness. We ask, dear Lord, that we might don't look down upon us and our progeny, whether we be parents or grandparents, and consider it with great depth and understanding that each one has a never-dying soul. And what can we say to these things? Well, that is a solemn word, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in sin did our mothers conceive us. It was indeed sin, indeed within us. And Lord, have we not written with our own pen? Yea, such things as this, as we are deeply concerned about. We pray to thee, Lord, oh, that thou be with the young and rising generation. For Lord, thou knowest how oft they need partners for this life. Not partners, as the world today talk about partners, but Lord, that holy matrimony that they might enter into, vowing before the Lord, their God, to serve one another all the days of their life. O Lord, a solemn word we use in our marriage vows, until death us do part. Oh, why those fears, behold his Jesus, He holds the helm and guides the ship, sent to waft us through the deep. And Lord, how often it is a deep beyond our understanding, but may we prove that all things are working together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. These things may be easily quoted, oh, but may they be greatly felt and known within these souls of ours. I say, Lord, look down upon us, and we thank thee that thou hast spared us even this day from calamity and the hazards of the road. And we pray that thou still go before thy people and preserve and protect them from harm and danger. And how we feel a great need to be kept from harming others. These things, O Lord, is lay upon our heart and mind, O Lord, that bear such great responsibility of others, that there's no place for carelessness and complacency. But help us, Lord, we pray, in all the changing scenes of life, and may our first consideration be, yea, never dying souls, thy honour and thy glory. We ask thee to come, Lord, and take us often by the hand and lead us to the throne of grace. This may seem a strange thing to some, but Lord, thou knowest how we need to be led, fed and taught of thee. And that, Lord, we may come to that place where thou hast said, I'll meet thee there, and there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. Lord, do not leave us to be ignorant of what true communion is at the throne of grace, where, Lord, the gates of paradise, as it were opened, and we find access to that place which heretofore may have been barred to us. And yet some, Lord, we will know, have found communion sweet in approaching unto thee in prayer. Even as thou hast said, come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, what burdens we carry, the burden of sin and guilt and personal shame. And Lord, wilt thou cut us off and deliver us, Lord, to the flames of Tophet? We pray to thee in the precious name of Jesus, thou pardon and forgive all our sin. For Lord, thou didst not come and suffer, bleed and die in vain, but for a purpose ordained from all eternity, to save thy people, that they might dwell with thee in heaven above. We ask of thee, Lord, in thy mercy, thou create in us a right spirit, a clean spirit, a new spirit, Lord. Lord, the old spirit in us by nature that is so tarnished with hell and spite and hatefulness. Lord, oh, we would be rid of these things, that truly we may keep that twofold precept, brethren, pray for us. But Lord, we long to see the spirit of love abounding in Zion, as it ought to be. Our Lord, help us truly to love the brethren for Jesus Christ's sake, that we might find union sweet in no one else but him who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, we would not multiply words before thee, Thou knowest, Lord, our limitations and how we need thee this night. Oh, to deliver thy word in faithfulness, honesty and truth. Lord, only thou canst appear for us and help us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, thou reveal to us this night, oh, the cross of Jesus Christ, that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Amen.
In 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skilful and kind, and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Hymn 906.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I seek to direct your attention to Genesis chapter 17 and reading verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, and walk before me, and be thou perfect. And said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. When we come to look at such a text as this, surely there is a need that we might look at the background also, but especially under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. But we get as much detail in this, because long ago, God had separated Abraham from his native people, and with his wife also, Sarai, and said, come ye out from among them, and be ye, and promised he'd make them a great nation, and that he would be with them, to multiply them, yea, and to that they should prosper in the way. But still, at 99 years old, he had not been given, they had not been given a child. Everything seemed to be totally impossible. I say, many would say, how dangerous it would be for such an elderly person to bear a child. Yes, and so it may be. But when we're in the Lord's care and loving hands, and he has a purpose in view, why, he'll bring it to pass, and no hurt or harm shall come unto them. God's promises are here revived to Abraham. God's promises to you and to I. They're not promises that shall be lost and forgotten and completely destroyed. But yea, they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And what he has said will surely come to pass. And so it was in the case of Abraham. We also would remember that Abraham had come a long way under God's guidance and direction. But we have seen in the history of Abraham those faults and those failings. But if we look in our own history and record, I say, I'm sure we'll have to say, oh, but my faults and my failings are so intense. Can there be hope for such a poor sinner as I? And has the Lord forgotten me and left me off in my old age to drift and trespass against him? Do notice here that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. And I say, who is your God? Who is my God? Who is able to do such things for me and for you but the Almighty God? Just see the emphasis of the meaning of this almighty God. Not just a God. That could be anything. It could be something with no power at all. It could be a God that is bound up in weakness and mysteries. But no, he has said to Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Thou art not a stranger to this and to me. Am I almighty or am I not? Have I left thee? Have I deserted thee? Have I not been with thee in the path that thou should take? Have I not guided thee and directed thee in those many tender things that concerning thee? Yes, and thy relatives? Oh, I am the Almighty God. I'm sure in many instances in your life, you have to say, had it not been for God, I should have been sunk and completely swallowed up. But surely why, oh why did God speak this to him at this time? I am the Almighty God. Why is he speaking it to you at this time? Remember this. The Almighty God is a holy God. And he never wastes a word. And every word he has spoken cannot be rearranged or changed. How many people love to rearrange our words if we write a letter. And thus to make it appear to be something entirely different to what we have said. But friends, they don't only do it with our letters. They do it with God's almighty word. I am the Almighty God. I do not change. I do not alter. And what I've said unto thee, I will do and will surely perform. Those who surely see that I plant my footsteps in the sea and ride upon a storm. We must remember this also. He was nearly 100 years old. And we're apt to say, oh well, the poor old chap, he didn't really mean it. He didn't know any different. He just forgot. Friends, there's no excuses like that. I am the Almighty God, and I change not, and neither do I expect my covenant love and grace to change before thee. It's a great mercy, friends, to be kept, yea, down to our journey's end. And he went far beyond it, did he not? Yes, the old age of 100 years. He is the Almighty God, ever living, ever proving that my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is perfect in weakness. Therefore, there must be all the honour and glory must be attributed unto him and not unto man. I am the Almighty God. I am a cease from man. His breath is in his nostrils. Oh, did not Abraham, like Isaac, seek the protection of his beloved wife by denying her, lest he should be killed because of her beauty, her grace and sweetness? My friends, was he right? Did he honour God in doing this? And have you honoured God in many things? Have you put it down as if it's common sense? You had to do something. Friends, when we come to a point like this, we have to remember, I am Almighty God. What a solemn responsibility was laid upon that man, Abraham. And should he not do something and thus prepare himself for the future? You may have had the insurance man come round and try and sell you a policy. and say, you've got to have this, you don't know what will happen in your life and those you are responsible for. My friend, tell him to take his policy hence elsewhere and tell him you have an almighty God and he has a word for me of guidance and direction. He says, walk before me. Walk before me. I say, he didn't say, walk behind me. Walk before me. Oh, I say, how often we may seek to shelter ourselves and not to expose all our faults and failings. But no, God knows all about that. And he says, walk before me. That thou might realize and know God's almighty eye is upon you, and his watchful care is upon you, yea, every moment of our life. It may seem to some a tall order to ask us to walk before God. How can a man walk before God? In the Lord's merciful dealings with us, he causes us to walk before God. I am the Almighty God, to walk in before him. I say, oh, bless his dear name, how we need to walk before him, that he may guide us and direct us in the right way, that he might deliver us from all evil and all sinfulness, all our faults and failings. Oh, to walk before him. We may be given and apt to seek the advice and counsel of men, whether we are walking uprightly and consistently to the mind and will of God. Walk before me. My Lord, friends, the Lord will tell us if we are his people. He will cause us to know his mind and will in every single matter, to walk before him. Oh, I say, I've often liked that hymn, indulging God, how kind are all thy ways to me. Yes, oh, the hymn writer remembers when he was in that state and position, when his heart was at enmity towards him. I will not have this man to reign over me. I'll govern my own affairs, my own life. I will show them what I am made of. And your glory in self when you find success. But friends, you'll never have the sweet approbation of the Lord upon it. Walk thou before me. Art thou indeed haughty in spirit and proud in mind, can always justify what you've done and said? Is there not one at hand that's heard and seen all that we have done? Has he smiled upon it and approved it? Nay, he has not. Walk thou before me. Because you failed in the past, it does not mean to say we have got to continue along that road. I challenge one man who is a baker by trade for starting baking on a Sunday evening. And I felt he should not be doing it. And he said, my father did it, and so did my grandfather. We've always done it. And they were godly men, he said. Therefore, there can be nothing wrong in it. But man has to cease at that point. Because it said, God has said, walk thou before me. And he has never given you any loophole to trespass against his law or his commandments. He cannot say you can have the peace of God in your heart. I say, souls might say, I've prospered in it, and the Lord has blessed it. By saying, what will the end be? What will the ingathering of the harvest be? Will he bless and own that? Or will it be a weighty witness against you? How did you come by this? Did you come by it by walking before God? Have you come by it and prospered and had God's blessing upon it? Because I say, it seems at times that Satan causes his people to prosper in these things, the things of this world. He does, my friends. God has said, if riches increase, set not thy heart upon them. And it doesn't mean to say that you've suddenly become very, very wealthy overnight. Any increase we can be affected by deeply and be pleased with it, but not see the hand of God in it. Walk thou before me. Oh, may God in his mercy give you and I grace to walk before me. Will the Lord himself be found there? Will he be going that way? I say it's a solemn thing, is it not, to walk on in our own way and say, let the Lord follow me and let him bless what I can do. Men will often say, will they not, well, we've got no word for it. Therefore, we venture in faith. Do you? Do we? Venture in faith? What is your faith fastened upon? His covenant? His promise? Or what is it? Or are we literally saying, I venture in faith, Almighty God has got to pick up the pieces and provide for my every need. Friends, that will not do. We cannot dictate to the Almighty God, but we are called to be a loving and subservient unto his mind and to his will. Oh, my friend, God knew that Satan in his old age needed him as much as ever he did. Walk thou before me. There can be no way out or any excuse, because years multiply upon us. Oh, to seek his face, to walk before him, to acknowledge him, to own his goings in these places that may be rough and stormy. May the Lord then go, when we go before the Lord, and walk therein. The Lord had given him a word, my friends. He'd given him a word. He didn't take the word, did he? He gave it to him. I say, has the Lord given you a word? And you may not indeed approve of that word. You say, surely not. Well, I'd be honest before you. In going to the ordinance table for the first time, I said to my wife, yes, I long to go to the table, but I fear what word may be given me. She thought it'd be strange. And the very word I didn't want was given to me. And it was this: thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. For I verily knew the Lord doesn't give a person a word without a purpose. Though it may be so sweet and encouraging, it may be envied by others. But I say, what does it mean? Friends, the Lord doesn't give words in vain to us. He gives it for a purpose, to walk before him, to go on and venture on, not trusting in ourselves any longer, but trusting totally and completely in Him. I say, what a need there is then to walk before Him. But the word goes on to say this, and be thou perfect, and be thou perfect, perfect. Can you tell me where perfection lies? We may be looking at all kinds of specimens and exhibitions and say, well, that is perfect. That is to our eye and to our judgment. But when God said be perfect, He is the judge and He is the assessor. He knows truly there's nothing perfect within us by nature, that we are entirely reliant upon Him. Be thou perfect. Friends, what a mercy if we have a desire to walk with Him and to walk in the ways of perfectness and pleasantness, and to know those paths of peace wherein a poor sinner is called to walk in. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. The two things are surely deeply and really connected. Walking before God, we cannot be perfect otherwise. Because as I believe I quoted in prayer, we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. A very solemn word that is. And I say, how do we stand up to the trying test of it all? Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. It is the Lord that makes us perfect in these things, because we are called indeed to resort unto Him in all our cares, in all our sorrows. Yes, to be perfect. Why, here is a filthy, wretched sinner. Do you see him yonder in that corner? Well, he's a publican, sure enough. But what about his prayers? Well, who wants to listen to publicans' prayers, some might say. But I say, even a publican's prayer can be a perfect prayer, as indicted by the Holy Spirit. Friends, the other one, the Pharisee, he didn't know the Holy Spirit. He didn't need the Holy Spirit. He got all at hand. He got all the words at hand. And therefore, he may be well listened to, but not by God. I say, but the publican, that all he could say, got nothing else to say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. I say, how much further can you go than that tonight? And friends, you cannot go any further than that, can we? We're dependent upon His mercy alone to walk before Him and to be perfect. Hit the prompting power of the Holy Spirit to caution us and tell us this is not the way. This might be the majority of thought, but I say it is better to walk alone with Jesus than to walk along a road with a crowd of dead professors. Be thou perfect. Friends, I believe this. The closer and nearer we're compelled to walk with Jesus Christ, the more reason we have of the hope of being perfect through His blood and righteousness alone. Oh, and be thou perfect. come, let us look at that creature. Why, let us look at the lamb that is presented for an offering. It's to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. Nothing wrong with it at all. And I say, the shepherd would say, well, that's a perfect lamb. But in divine things, all perfection must come through Jesus Christ and him alone. Oh, I say, and how is it so, according to the scripture, is that great call and direction to be washed in the precious blood of Christ, that our sins might be taken away, that it might be brought back to its original state? I dare say so. Walk thou before him and be thou perfect. He alone, my friends, all can remove all sin and the love of sin and cause us thus to walk with him in perfect harmony and union. Does not the Lord teach us and tell us that great need of being in union with him by way of owning him and confessing him? I say, can we be perfect if we are ashamed of Jesus? Can we be as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to him without his love and grace abiding within us? And be thou perfect. How many perhaps look lightly upon the matter of denying their Lord and Master? How oft we have had to go out and weep bitterly. Oh, a complete failure, aren't we, Peter? A complete failure. The things we say we would not do, we have done. But the love of Christ that is so rich and free, he brings the poor sinner back and says, walk thou before me. Indicating that he is not ashamed of us. Although we may feel to be the vilest of sinners, but because his almighty love, he has washed us and cleansed us from all our sins. Oh, how David, in his sad mistake and falling, he said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Oh, that the blood of Christ that removes and cleanses us from all sin, it does not leave us with a stain. It may leave us with a memory of it. It's a twofold blessing, is it not? Oh, we shall remember. Why, the love that cleansed us and the cost of that cleansing, even his own heart's blood being the price of atonement. Oh, I say, and be thou perfect. Friends, we cannot find perfection in self, but surely we will find perfection only as in union with the Lamb. It is there we are saved from that condemnation. My friend, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul found it to be so. Oh, may it be so that you find it too. Yet that you'll find it too. Oh, perfection. I say, in Jesus Christ. It may be people may wonder at your testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, aren't you wonderful? No, friend, they've got it wrong. Isn't Jesus wonderful? to cleanse such a vile sinner as I. Oh, that we might be perfect when brought before the judgment bar of God. Friend, there could be no condemnation there. Oh, did not Paul testify to this, to the Philippians, and said, that I may be found in him, friends, the perfectness that is found in him alone. It's not something that is borrowed. It's something that is given. It's something that is wrought by his wondrous love to you. Because he's loved you with an everlasting love and with loving kindness, he has drawn you. Oh, I say, what a perfectness in the Lord's dealings with us. We may not have thought that it would come to us like this. And I don't think for a moment that the Abraham thought it would come to him so late in life as this. His own work had to be made manifest. We hear it, do we not? Oh, that Ishmael might live before me. Is that God's work? Or is it your own? I say, what a mercy. Oh, to rest and rely upon the promise of God. I want to go on just a little farther. How long then has Abraham got to live to have the beauty and comfort of his son, Isaac, that was ordained of God? He said, what can he expect at his age? But what do we hear next with regard to Abraham and Isaac? Take thy son, even thy only son, and offer him up for a sacrifice. What will we say? What can we say? But friend, he walked before him as perfect, and he did what the Lord had commanded him and directed him to. What a painful path that must have been. And they came to the mount and left the animals and his servants and went on yonder. Just with Isaac. And to hear Isaac say, Father, and he say, here am I. He said, well, here we got the fire, and here we got the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He didn't say to Isaac, well, you're going to be the burnt offering today. Friend, not so. He walked before God and was perfect there. See how perfect he was in his answering his son. God will provide himself a lamb. I say, is that so? And how perfect, oh, that burnt offering was. Even the Son of God Almighty. Yes, in the mount it shall be seen. Oh, be thou perfect to look upon the sacrifice of atonement with true and realistic eyes. Yes. Oh, has the Lord brought you to that place where you do not know where the next morsel is coming from? The next hope is coming from. Brought to that place, you come to the end of your tether and seeing yourself a complete failure. Coming back to the morning text, friends, that rather you may be complete in him. Yes, Jehovah Jireh, the place hereafter called, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Oh, it's one thing to say it. But another thing to walk it out. and to walk it out relying entirely upon Almighty God and not yourself. That's not easy. But I say, is it not a blessed pathway? Does it not bring you closer to the Almighty and to the Lamb? Did not one say of old, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Are you agreed with this, that Christ should be your Saviour, that he should be your dying friend? I agreed with this. You've nowhere else to look and turn to but unto Jesus, who is kind and strong, pity joined with power. So it was, my friends, with Abraham. Yes, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. We're not told this, but I've often thought what that dear man must have felt when he returned from the mount. And this all had transpired. Yes, and he says, be thou perfect. I'm sure Abraham would never have forgotten it. He would never have forgotten it when at the throne of grace, concerning his son, his family, the future promises, that he should plead on those grounds and merits of Jesus Christ alone. And be thou perfect. My friend, how it pleases the Father well that we are brought to believe in him. This is the Father's will, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. He sent him. You didn't. And where did he send him? He sent him indeed into this world, yea, to Calvary, to be condemned by man, but to be approved of God. He sent him into this world to suffer, bleed and die upon Calvary, that, oh, he's the redeemed of the Lord, might share in that wondrous blessing of the pardon and forgiveness of sin by the blood of Jesus. I say, you who know what guilt and condemnation means, who've looked for hope, who looked for mercy, has he thus spoken to you in such tones as this? Walk thou before me, and be thou perfect. It may be said, what will other people say and think? Whatever the child of God does, he'll always have the critics and opposers of this world. But we're not dealing with them. We're not dealing with Satan. Abraham was dealing with Almighty God. And if anything that Satan hates is the name of Almighty God spoken. He may contend with you and contest that there's no value or truth or strength in those words. But friends, walk thou before me. This is where it's known. This is where it's felt. Walking before the Lord. Does he call you to the house of God, a place within it? Does he cause your heart to rejoice when the people said, let us go up to the house of the Lord? Why, how rare that seems to be today. The lack of communication one with the other. I say, we read that then they feared the Lord. They spoke often one to another. How often do you speak of the Lord one to another? I know what you may say, I'm fearful lest I should presume. But I say, though you may be fearful, lest you should presume. Do you like to hear the Lord's people talk and speak of God's dealings with them? That is strange, isn't it? You do. Does he not often draw out a poor sinner? Even as steel sharpens steel, does it not, we're told. So does he come walk before him, then to feel at home with those that walk before the Lord, who know the same beaten track as you have walked. And they're not to exalt yourself, but to exalt a precious Christ and a merciful God and judge of all things and be thou perfect. Those that are perfect in Christ Jesus will never see themselves perfect, and they can never bear to think that anybody relates to him as being unperfect, but innocent and pure. I like that word, innocent. It's a rare word with us, isn't it? Truly so. But when our innocency comes through this, that the price that has been demanded of thee, Jesus Christ has paid it by his own blood. Therefore, we are innocent, because all guilt and shame has been removed, and his people are drawn closer and nearer to me. So the word that the Lord gives to Abraham here, he says, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Friends, we come to the eventide of life ourselves, and we're often concerned about the future and what we leave behind. But let me tell you this, what we should be concerned about the future and what we've left behind. Friend, what will we leave behind? A good example or a perfect example? It is good, you know, when we look back at some of those who have been godly parents and godly fathers, godly deacons, and say, why, the Lord was with that man. It was a shining light in the church. He set a good example. I say, does the Lord remind you about this for a purpose? Are we walking in the same road and in the same track? Why? I say, and be ye perfect. My friend, the same grace that save those you may admire now, the same grace can save you too. My mind, in fact, turns at this time to the godly deacon that used to be at Fanstanton, Mr. Curley. Well, how good it was to be in his company. I say, what a difference the vestry was when he lifted up his prayers unto God for the poor minister. I say, he walked before the Lord, and I believe the place he desired for was that which required perfectness, wherein he relied on the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I leave you with these words. Oh, but may the Lord do something about it, which I cannot. Walk thou before him and be ye perfect, that we might follow to on to know the Lord, that he'll save his people from their sins. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £620, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who will, God willing, address the Sunday School in the afternoon also. Let us close with hymn 318. God of eternal love, how fickle are our ways, and yet how oft did Israel prove thy constancy and grace. Hymn 318.
Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and for evermore. Amen.